Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Lewis for Zone In. Today on the show, I want to talk a little bit about blood flow. But I want to tell you first, I am extremely sore today. Had a good workout yesterday, and I did deadlifts. I normally don't do a lot of deadlifts, and I definitely don't do them heavy anymore, but, you know, during exercises, period, you know, you want to, you know, spice everything up here, try something different, make sure that your body doesn't get used to what you're, you know, get used to whatever your routine is. That way, you know, you're still going to have some positive growth there. So, any event, like I said, I want to talk about blood flow. The big thing here is that, you know, life itself is about blood flow. So any type of exercise activity, this is really what you're trying to achieve, is to, you know, have your organs, heart, and everything work, you know, in a manner that is efficient, so that your body can pump through the blood the way it was designed to do it. This also takes into account nutrition too, because, you know, certain foods that you eat can clog up your arteries, and so, you know, you lose that blood flow. Now, I am a guy, like I mentioned before, in a couple of days here, I'll be 55. So, like most guys over 35, you know, blood flow, you know, is really something that you really got to have, you know, working, you know, at optimum most of the time. You know, just to think and just do, you know, regular activities, you know. If not, you know, really, you know, you're going to feel tired, sluggish, or whatever. So when people ask me, you know, well, you know, and how do you find time to actually work out, or, you know, or develop a program to, you know, either lose weight or whatever? I mean, yes, this is why I call this show weight management. The thing is that it's a discipline. You have to find time. You have to focus on what you want, and then, you know, just like anything else, you know, prioritize your time so that you can get done what you need to get done. Now, I'm not going to be able to, within an hour, tell you about, you know, what exercises that you need to do, because everybody's an individual. I'm not going to be able to tell you about your diet or either what supplements. I'm going to put some stuff out there for you to just review, and you have an understanding about it. And then if you want to ask more questions, you know, you can either write me or see a personal trainer, maybe a dietitian. Okay. But the thing is that, like I, you know, said in weeks past, the whole purpose for you to maintain life is basically to do work. So if it's, you know, whatever work you're doing, I mean, let's just face it, they have golfers out there now. Professional golfers are actually doing resistance training in order to, you know, be a better performer at golf, you know. So in your everyday life, it's the same thing. That's what you need in order to perform better and be at your optimum level. You're going to have to take into account some type of activity that is going to allow you to do that and increase your blood flow. That's the whole point of the whole thing. Is just to increase that blood flow. Now, without diet and exercise, without a rest, I should say, without a proper diet or a balanced diet, okay, right to the point. A balanced diet, because I mentioned some numbers, you know, weeks past, you know, 50, 30, 20 in terms of carbohydrates to proteins to fats. But anyway, a balanced diet where you've got all the three macronutrients that you need. You know, you got your meats, you got your bread, your pastas, and then a little oil here for your fats. And and exercise, some type of activity that raises your heartbeat to the point that, you know, it forces your heart, your metabolism to kick up. Without that, you know, without that throughout the week of your life, it, you know, you're just going to be miserable. it's going to be hard for you to perform at anything, let alone have any energy to do anything. So, looking at blood flow, a few things I want to go over today. I want to talk about why glycemic foods are important. I'm going to talk a little bit about activities that raise the metabolism and forces blood throughput. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about the psychology of exercise. I mean, you know, in fact, let me start with that. You know, there are like four factions of communities, if you will, out there that basically, you know, provide information and guidance on what you should be eating and how much exercise you should have, okay? You've got your medical community. You've got the bodybuilding community. You've got the fitness community. And then there is your personal community, okay? And by that, I mean your friends, your family, and you yourself, because you know yourself better than anybody. You know when you're feeling well. You know what works for you, especially if you're over the age of 35. Now, when you're younger, you're trying to get an idea because you're testing different things to see what works for you and what does not work for you. But in doing so, you're learning exactly how your body actually adjust to different types of exercise and to different types of diets. Okay, you know, if you're out partying all night, and I'm speaking of somebody in their 20s, probably. If you're out partying all night, you know that it may take you 4 or 5 hours or 6 hours the next day in order to recuperate. Well, the older you get, the longer it takes for you to recuperate. So now, like I'm saying, so by the time you're 35, you're like, wait a minute. Okay, let me slow down. I'm not going to do this as often because now I know this is really going to take me to another level where I'm not going to be able to function properly for, you know, a certain period of time. So, you know, any type of activity like that. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having a good time, okay? You just have to realize what your body can handle. And that's, you know, all a part of learning. But I'm saying, you are the expert for you. So you know what it takes for you to do it. Now, like I said before, you know, people say, you know, I don't have any time to work out. It takes too long. Well, I kind of take that to mean that you don't have the patience to stay focused and do what you have to do because now you want something that happens right away. Well, here's the thing. This has got to be a way of life for you. You know, you've got to somehow incorporate some type of activity that raises your heartbeat and gets your metabolism going. Excuse me today if I, you know, It's June. We got some, you know, and the pollen and everything else, I got the allergies going here pretty good for me. Excuse me. Also, besides you, you have your friends and your family, okay? And I realize that, for most part, everybody does what their friends and you know, they try to fit in with their friends and their family. I mean, they want to, you know, be able to participate with what they're doing. So, you know, if you start something new, a new exercise, a new diet, and your community, your, you know, friends and family aren't doing the same thing, it's kind of like you don't fit in. And then you start to think, you know, what's the purpose? Because I'm doing something that they don't do. The only time that that's probably, you know, not valid is when you become ill, get sick, go to the doctor. Now the doctor says, hey, I want you to lose weight or cut back on the salt or, you know, or cut back on the sugar, or you have some dreaded disease that actually, you know, pulls you out from that community anyway. Well, you know, let me tell you, it's been, let's see, going on 15 years right now for me. I was a very big smoker. I smoked up to almost 4 packs a day. Okay, and I still worked out. I still exercised. But, you know, I had that bad habit. Now, I knew I had to get rid of the habit, but one of the things that slowed me down was everybody was around me was smoking. I had this whole community of friends and family that smoked. So it was kind of like if I stopped smoking, I wouldn't have, you know, these people around me anymore. I mean, because, I mean, what, you know, I was, you know, I started thinking, you know, what am I going to do with this? If I sit around with them, you know, and they're smoking and I'm not smoking, you know, what happens? You know, are they still going to enjoy my company? Am I going to enjoy their company? You know, it became a question. The only thing is I knew that, you know, this was bad for me. I mean, it got to the point that, you know, just a simple, you know, mile run, I had to really, you know, get myself into shape for it if I hadn't done it for a while. I mean, I had to, you know, start with maybe like a quarter of a mile run, and then I'd come back and do, you know, another quarter of a mile run. So I'd do, you know, half a mile, and then after that, you know, I'd change the speeds a little bit. And so it took me a while to get back up there, you know, whereas now, if I'm out of shape, basically, and I haven't run for a while, the only thing that's going to happen is that I just got to get over the aches and pains of the muscles that are required, you know, to do the run, and, you know, and plus my back and knees and everything else that might have an issue because they're not used to it. But I realized that, you know, smoking was just out of the question. But it wasn't that easy to quit either, I'm going to tell you. And like I said, part of the reason to quit is because I was sitting there thinking that I really was a smoker. Now, by this time, you know, I'm thinking I'm really a smoker, so, and I hang out with smokers, so if I'm not smoking, what am I going to do? Well, that's the thing. And like for any change that you come up with, you're going to have to think about, you know, what you want to change into, okay? And then from there, start working on, you know, replacing what you consider bad habits or things that are in the way of you making that particular change. But that all starts with you and your community. Now, I think for guys, it's a little different, because with guys, you only have, you know, one or two, maybe, you know, two or three friends. And some guys don't have any, but, you know, so it might be the only people that really, you know, make up your community. It might be just your family, your immediate family, and then probably, and sometimes, you know, just your people that you, you know, that you know at work. For ladies, it is much more difficult. I realize that, because I, you know, so many times it comes, well, you know, ladies come to me and say, well, you know, I want to change, but, you know, I really don't want to do it by myself, you know. So, and in that sense, they're more geared toward classes, taking classes where there are a lot of people there. So, or personal trainers where somebody's there actually engaged with them. Okay. Now, there are a lot of women out there that can, you know, that they're just used to being on their own. But I'm speaking for the women that that have really never actually, you know, tried any exercise, okay, or tried any particular diet, okay. They'd rather have some company along as opposed to making the change all alone. Now, and like I said, it's different for whatever, you know, for whatever reason, that different people have different things that motivate them to do things. You know, a guy might say, well, I want to get in shape so that, you know, I look good for this, you know, I look good in a suit for a wedding or something. And ladies may have the same thing. They may say, okay, yeah, I want to, you know, basically, you know, look good in a dress. So for that period of time, they'll focus and go through whatever they have to go through to get there. Now, some of them, you know, may result to starving themselves or long hours in the sauna or something. But in any event, they somehow get past where they were, okay? They may not make their goal, but they get past where they were, and so now they're at a different place, okay? And in doing so, that generally, you know, prompts them to say, wait a minute, you know, should I be doing this all the time, or was it, you know, too difficult, or what could I make easier, or should I need a plan for it, you know, a little differently so that the next time I don't have to, you know, go through this whole routine or whatever. And that's where it comes in that maybe you may need, you know, a trainer or go to a gym or, you know, some other type of professional advice. Because if that's the case, if you're not getting it out of your own community, then you're going to have to go to one of these other communities, like the medical community, you know. The medical community does not basically give you any real advice on how to exercise or what to diet. And as far as diet, it's generally that food pyramid that I talked about. That's pretty much it as far as what they suggest. But they just try to tell you what the end result should be. That your BMI, your body weight and your height should be within a certain range. This is where you should be, and they're telling you this is what it means to be healthy. That's what the medical community will do. Okay. Now the bodybuilding community, all right, they basically have disciplines set up so that you can figure out how to exaggerate and increase your muscle size, okay? And it looks like sometimes, if we're looking at it from, you know, from the outside, The bodybuilding community is in contrast to the medical community. Example, let's say I'm 5'9", okay? So for somebody my height, 5'9", they're saying that my weight should be between 145 to 160 pounds. Okay. Well, I haven't been 160 pounds since I was in the eighth grade. I was 13 years of age. And even then, I looked very slim. So I really can't use that guideline. So what I did was that I jumped over to the bodybuilding community and looked at fat percentage, because in bodybuilding, they're actually looking at how much muscle you have and how much of the muscle is lean muscle, meaning that there's hardly any fat there. So now, to be a bodybuilder, basically you want to compete in all the shows. They're looking for somebody that has a fat percentage on their body of under 5%. Okay. Well, that's pretty extreme. Okay. So you got to kind of look at, what is necessary. I mean, how much fat can you have on your body and still be considered healthy? Okay. All right. Well, there's one more faction outside of the medical community, the bodybuilding community. Then there is the fitness community. Okay. Now, the fitness community, they basically look at the, different types of exercises that you are able to do. Not so much, what your body weight is, okay, or what your BMI is based on the medical community, or how much fat you have on you. They're basically looking at, okay, what can you do? I mean, right now, if you go out there on YouTube right now, you'll see where, some guy can bench press 300 pounds 15 times. Or someone can do push-ups, say, 50 in 50 seconds. Okay. They're looking to see what kind of activity you can do consistently, okay, because this determines how fit you are. Well, again, you're going to have to be the best judge of you, because you are the boss of you. So you got to kind of take all four of those factions and kind of figure out, okay, where you can fit in it. Okay. And I know that, no pun intended, but I'm just saying, yeah, because the whole purpose is, okay, you've got to do some type of activity to make sure that you're getting the proper blood flow, and that things in your body are running efficiently enough to keep everything going. So between those four communities, all right, you've got to figure out what you can do and what your body can do, and then figure out how do you want to feel. I mean, if you're concerned about just getting into a suit and just losing weight, well, let me tell you, if you starve yourself and you had 30% fat on your body when you began, after you starve yourself, okay, you're still going to have 30% fat on your body. It's just going to be less of it. So, you're weighing 100 pounds, 200 pounds before, okay, and you were 30% fat. Now, if you starve yourself down 100 pounds, okay, now you're only 100 pounds, but you're still 30%. So you're basically still considered fat if you're speaking in the bodybuilding community. Okay, now in the medical community, it's going to be that may not be the case, because it depends on what your height is and what your weight is. Okay. But for you, you know what looks good when you're in clothes, and you know what looks good when you're out of clothes, okay? Excuse me. And you also know how you feel. So that's the biggest thing. So you may have some goals too, just like the fitness community. You may have some goals where you might want to be able to, you know, ride a bike for, you know, 25 miles, or you may want to, you know, hike a trail or something, you know, for 10 miles or something. You know, so you have to determine, you have to set the goals for yourself. And again, like I'm saying, you're the boss of you, and you're the expert of you. You know what you feel good at. So you've got to take the advice from all four of those communities, okay, and figure out what you need to do, and then move forward. Now, when I talk about exercise, all right, and I hate to throw out numbers here because nobody remembers numbers, but when you're exercising, you need to have your heart rate go to 65% of your maximum heart rate. Okay, now, there's a formula out there for your maximum heart rate. Okay, send me an email. I'll tell you what the formula is, if you don't know it. Okay, and then I'll let you know, you know, what 65% of that maximum is. You know, and it's different for everybody because it changes year to year based on your age. So your maximum heart rate is based on your age. But anyway, you need 65% of your maximum heart rate, okay, some exercise that raises your heart rate to 65% of your maximum heart rate. You need to do that 3 times a week for 20 minutes. Now, that's just maintenance. That's what you got to do just to keep blood flowing, period, okay? If you're not doing that, you're probably not feeling, you know, the best. But you could already be doing it based on what kind of work you do as it is right now. Or you may be even close to it just by just doing, you know, work around the house, gardening, you know, mowing the lawn, bringing groceries in from the house. I mean, I'm not sure there'd be a lot of groceries, but I'm just saying there are a lot of activities that you already do. It's just a matter of trying to figure out now, okay, what it is that you do, and only you know that, what it is that you do now that keeps you active, or what it is that you do that you may be able to use as some type of activity in order to get, you know, your blood flowing to the point that it should be. I can't stress enough about the community, you know, because you're a personal community, your family and your friends, because this is where really I think it's the toughest place to make any type of change. You know, somehow, again, you've got to take over being in charge of you and realize that, you know, it's not always going to be the easiest thing to break away from your family and friends in order to do exactly what you want to do. So you're going to have to just, you know, either convince them or just figure out some time that you can just take away from them, okay? Which everybody needs their own personal time, okay? And then maybe that's when you can do the exercise. Okay. That doesn't explain the diet, though. But as I talked about, you know, diet a couple of weeks ago, all right? A general diet, okay, and change of lifestyle doesn't have to mean that you exclude everything. Yes, you can still eat pizza. You can still have your cake. You can still have beer and wine. You know, it's just that you only want to do it, you know, on occasion. So, again, if you want to make changes, you can make changes. And I realize, like I said, a lot of it is because you're thinking, you know, family, friends, you know, you want to fit in, so to speak. But here's what you got to do. You got to think about yourself, take some time away, figure out what your goals are, okay? And like I said, at minimum, you've got to go out there and say, look, I got to get my heart rate at 65% of my maximum, and I got to do that for 20 minutes, 3 times a week. That's the activity that you need. That's the minimum amount of activity that you need. I don't care if you're 20 years old or you're 85, okay? And again, your maximum heart rate is going to change each year with your age. Okay, I think we're coming up on a break here. I am going to take a break and stretch here and come back, and we'll talk some more, okay? Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm talking about blood flow today and what you need to get going. And I realize that some of the obstacles of doing any additional activity, like I said before, one of them is, you know, your own family, your friends, and the community that you live in. If they're not doing it, then you may not see any need to do it, or may feel out of place if you were to do it. Okay, but you really need to think about, you know, your health in this sense, and take some steps to, you know, start doing some activities. And one of them is basically, you know, some activity that's going to get your heart rate up to 65% of your maximum for 20 minutes and do that 3 times a week. Okay, well, that's on the activity side. If you do that, okay, you're going to have your blood flowing pretty good through your veins there. The other part of this blood flow thing is diet, okay? Now, as I mentioned before, protein is the most important nutrient, macronutrient that your body requires, okay? And that's going to come from, you know, your meats, fish, and some dairy, okay? Protein, though, does not have any effect. Well, it has a very minimal amount of effect on your sugar level, okay? Or I should say insulin level. It doesn't raise, it's not going to require that your body raises insulin, okay? So in that sense, it's what you call low glycemic. And I talked about this a little bit last week and the week before. You want to stay away from foods that raise your blood sugar so high that it requires a lot of insulin to push your food into your cells, okay? So you basically want to go with low glycemic foods. And, you know, I can give you a list of what those are just by sending me an email or whatever, or you can call into the show if you want. We can just talk about it. But anyway, like low glycemic foods are your carbohydrates that don't push your blood sugar up too much. And the other thing you want to include in your diet as well is 20 grams of fiber. Now, what the fiber does is it slows down the food from moving too fast into your bloodstream, okay? And again, this whole thing is about blood flow, okay? So if you put a lot of food out there really quick, it's going to really, you know, saturate, you know, the bloodstream, and now you're not going to have, you know, a lot of blood flow, okay? So it defeats the point. That's why your diet, you got to look at what you're eating and say, hey, okay, what is the optimum amount of food that I can put out there, and what, you know, ratios should they be in? Now, I know all that sounds a little technical, but really, if you just concentrate on certain foods, like what? Lean meats, okay. Because if the meat is not lean, it means it has a lot of fat on it, okay? And if it's got a lot of fat on it, that is going to slow down the blood flow. Get me? Exactly. The whole thing about life is blood flow. And if you're eating a lot of fat, fatty meats, it's going to slow down the blood. And you know, that's not what you want to do. Okay. Fish is very good. Now, fish has, a lot of it has these oils that they call omega-3s. Anyway, I'm not going to go too much into it, except for omega-3s, that oil basically makes it difficult for food and debris inside your blood vessels to stick to the blood walls, okay? So it's a good thing. It helps blood flow, okay? So fish is very good. Now, that's, you know, so that's, that covers basically, you know, your meats and your fish. And you want lean meats and fish that has a lot of omega-3s. The other part of the diet there is the carbohydrates, okay? These are the foods that basically, you know, are converted into blood sugar, okay? vegetables, fruits, and then you got your desserts like your pies, your cakes, candy, cookies. All of those are converted into blood sugar. Now, you being the boss of you, you already know pretty much now, because you've been probably hearing on the news for the last 10 years, exactly which foods you should eat and which foods you shouldn't eat. And you also know which foods you like to eat, okay? So, in that sense, all I'm asking here is that, you know, you take a look at them, because you know which ones they are for you, that in terms of the good ones and the bad ones for you, okay? Now, for me, if I'm going to look at vegetables, I'm choosing just particularly spinach, maybe broccoli, and cauliflower. Those are my top three. Oh, and baked sweet potatoes. I'm coming to love those now, okay? But everybody has their own preference, okay? Now, when I look at those foods that I like, okay, they have a low glycemic value, which means I can eat as much as I want, okay, and they're not going to put a lot of blood sugar out there into my bloodstream and create a lot of insulin. Because, when, again, insulin comes along, it's got to push the sugar into the cells, but if there's a lot of it out there, again, it interferes with blood flow. And then, once it's pushed everything into the cells, okay, you're going to feel hungry again, because now you got nothing inside of your bloodstream. So you want stuff that's going to be slowly digested and slowly placed into the bloodstream, okay? Again, low glycemic foods. Now, as far as fats, I don't think you have to talk about that. I mean, fats, you already know. They're heavy, they're dense. I mean, there are two types we talked about the other week, but I'm just saying, it's heavy and it's dense, and that really slows down blood flow, okay? So you don't want a lot of fat, but you do have to have a certain amount in there, okay? And that's why I said 20% of whatever you're eating, okay, whatever your diet is, if it's a balanced meal, should come from fat. And no, I'm not talking about, you know, the different diets out there, like the Atkins diet or whatever, but, you know, where they actually encourage you to eat a lot of fat as opposed to anything else. I'm saying the typical balanced diet, you should have 50% of your foods, 50% of that should come from, you know, carbohydrates, which are going to be your breads, your pasta, even your cakes, every, you know, look at 50% of what you're eating, okay, and it should be carbohydrates. 30% should come from protein, which is, you know, your meats and your dairy, and then the other 20% should come from fat. Now, what fat does, like I said, is it allows your body to easily absorb nutrients, because as soon as your body sees fats, you know, all the cells open up and say, oh, yeah, give me some, because everything likes fat, okay. But too much fat, and definitely too much saturated fat, will cause debris particles to stick inside your bloodstream. And that's going to hamper your blood flow. You don't want that. And trust me, the older you get, you really don't want that. Now you can't think, you can't do anything because you're not getting that blood flow. But one way to help ease that is by doing some type of activity, exercise. So, again, diet and exercise go hand in hand in order to help you with blood flow. Yeah, again, like I said, today I'm a little sore because I was doing some exercising yesterday. I was in the gym doing deadlifts. But, and, you know, for most part, you know, in a couple of weeks here, no, yeah, what's today? Today's actually the 14th. In 2 weeks, all right, I'll be 55. And most guys my age really don't want to come in the gym and work out and do, you know, but I do it only because of how it makes me feel. In fact, I don't feel 55. And when I'm working out, you know, I'm working out with guys a lot younger than me, okay? again, and all that gives me a different sense of community, you know, in terms of where I'm at, what I'm doing. But the biggest thing is blood flow. I'm able to perform, you know, doing other, you know, any type of work, whether it's on the computer, whether it's gardening or whatever, you know, I'm able to do things that I want to do. And that's exactly why I get in the gym. And that's exactly why I still, you know, watch my diet. And I only eat, you know, certain things, you know, based on, well, I should say, I only eat the you know, the desserts and, you know, the cookies, the cakes, the pies, you know, only on certain occasions. You know, just sparingly. Because now I do it only as a celebration as opposed to, you know, this being my normal diet. My normal diet is what I use actually to help me get through the day. So I look at, what do I need? And that's what I did. I'm the boss of me. I assessed where I was. I figured out what goals I wanted, and that's what I did. So from there, you know, but you got to figure out what foods you like, what foods, and of those foods you like, which ones are good and which ones are bad. I think you already know, okay? But, and then you figure out how much you need of those foods. Now, last week I also talked about, you know, why you need protein in a diet. And basically because all the tissue in your body is regenerated every 6 months. So whether you do anything or not, your body is regenerating this tissue, okay? Now, how it's being regenerated is what type of activity that you do, okay? So if you're not doing some activity that requires you know, your body to, you know, to contract the muscles in certain areas, to properly use them, then, hey, guess what? It's not going to regenerate anything. You're just going to like, well, why should I do this? Because we haven't done anything in 6 months. So when you think about that, you're saying, well, if I stop working out for 6 months, what happens? Well, again, you stop working out for 6 months, your body realizes you haven't worked out for 6 months and say, hey, maybe you're not going to work out for the next 6 months. So now it basically sits there and just you become mush. But again, your brain has muscle cells too. So you need the activity to help keep up your body as well as your brain. And all that comes with doing activity at, 65% of, I say it again, 65% of your maximum heart rate, okay, and getting that blood flow through, that blood flow through your veins. The easiest thing to do, really, is to sit down and think about those aspects of your life that you would like to do. I mean, like I said, me, I'm 55, so I'm still pretty active. But I realize most people, after 25, they kind of slow down. Okay. So, and most times, they just slow down because it's, well, you know, I'm older now, so I just don't do that stuff anymore. I'm not asking you to go out there, you know, and if you were running 20 miles before, you know, run 20 miles. I'm just saying there are some activities that everybody's going to, you want to enjoy. So, and you want to enjoy them as long as you can. To do that, you need to get in shape for it. That's all I'm saying. Figure out what it is that you want to do. Even if you're golfing, okay? Now, that requires exercise. Just the fact that you're walking around, okay, on the holes. Also, you're using certain muscles when you're swinging the club, okay? Now, once that starts to slow down, are you thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to have to give up golf because I'm getting too old? Or are you going to say, well, nope, right now it's time for me to do some exercising and change my diet a little bit so that I can continue to do what I like to do? All right. If you're just sitting on the couch and doing absolutely nothing, the only way that you're doing that is because you must have friends or family that are sitting on the couch and doing absolutely nothing. Or you're just really depressed. And maybe everybody that's on the couch, they're all depressed. Your family and friends, everybody's depressed. If that's the case, then you should be the one picking them up, say, hey, look, let's go. Let's do something. That's what's got to happen here. So when we're talking about activity and what we need to do in order to maintain a healthy lifestyle, again, you know, find something that you like to do that's going to get your heart rate up a little bit. Look at your diet. You know what's good, what's bad, okay? And start pulling back on the stuff that, you know, that you don't really need to have every day. You like to have it, but, you know, push it back. Just hold it off to the weekend. Now, somebody asked me the other day about alcohol. I mean, well, okay, here's the deal. You can have 2 drinks a day, okay? But it should be 2 drinks a day based on what, you know, your diet is, okay? Like, how many calories do you actually need? And if you're going to have those drinks, find some activity that's going to burn the calories off. Okay. I'm not going to try to push you into trying to do something that you don't want to do, but I'm just trying to give you enough information out there so that when you do decide, you know, what you want to change, it'll be easier. But I'm going to tell you, blood flow is the name of the game. I mean, life is all about blood flow. So that's what you got to keep in mind. Okay. I think that's going to wrap us up here for this week. I'll be back next week. And I see Sunday's coming up, Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Okay. Bring the action. You want to take off. You want to take off. You want to take off.